Welcome to The Grow Show, where we speak with leading business experts to help you grow yourself, grow your business, and grow your community. Now, here's your host, Gary Jones.
Hey, folks, and how are you doing today? Now, welcome to this episode of The Grow Show, where we aim to give you the tools to help you grow yourself, grow your business, and grow your community. And this show's been a long time in the making. Me and Karen spoke about being on the podcast months and months ago. Life got in the way, but she's here. Karen Williams is on The Grow Show. How are you doing, Karen? You all right?
I'm brilliant. Thanks, Gary. It's brilliant to be here.
So, Karen, tell people who you are. Who is The Book Mentor? And how many books have you got at the moment?
Yeah, so I'm known as The Book Mentor. My business is Libertas, and I have got 6 books and 2 planners stroke journal that I've just launched. So you could technically say 8 books, but the last 2 are all about the reader actually doing the work, not necessarily me doing it for them. So I started my book writing journey 11 and a half years ago, and just about to have the 10th anniversary of the launch of my very first book, which is quite scary as well.
Wow. So 10th anniversary coming up.
Yeah.
Does it seem like yesterday since it all started? Has it gone quick, or has it gone quite
It feels like
slow?
A long time ago, actually. And I know we were just talking before pressing record how fast time seems to be going. Actually, that does feel like 10 years ago. I don't know. It's just surprising. And I did say never again after that first book. And then I kept on going.
You know what? I wonder how many other people have said that. Finished one product and then gone, never again. And then a couple of months down the line, they start to get itchy hands and think, do you know what? I could do this.
Yeah, it happens. Some people know right from the very beginning they've got more than one book inside them. And some people say, I'm only doing one book. And I don't think any of those have only written one book. They're at least started their second if they haven't finished it. So, it tends to get itchy hands. I like that. Good phrase.
Itchy hands. It's cool. And did you always knew you wanted to be an author?
No, I was an accidental author, actually. I wrote my first book because I was doing a project where I had the opportunity to interview some amazing coaches within the field of coaching, that they were really great in terms of running a business and also great at coaching. And I wanted to find out what's the difference that makes a difference between somebody who's successful in business and someone who wasn't. So it came out of curiosity. I was doing my neurolinguistic programming master's at the time. And I thought, well, why? You know, I had the opportunity to spend time with 11 amazing people. But as you do, I just thought, this is great. This is great learning. This is great experience. This is great knowledge. It was changing my business. I knew I needed to share it with more people. So I thought, why not write a book? And that's where it all started.
I love that, because when I first started doing podcasting, I wanted to kind of show, I was learning from other people, and I still do. Every interview I talk, every person I talk to, every interview I do, I learn something new. And that's never left me. And it is there's something about being able to share someone else's story, which for me just gives me a nice warm, fuzzy feeling. But equally, I get so much out of it. I personally get so much out of it. I learn from everybody. Do you pick up stuff as well?
Oh, absolutely. I've been mentoring business authors since 2014. Every time I work with a client, I learn something new about them, about their system, about their process, about what they're writing about, because they're an expert in their topic. I just help them to bring the ideas out of their head and down onto paper. So facilitating it, coaching, mentoring, that side of things. So I always learn things. And some subjects I really didn't have a clue before I started, but I do get to know them, not as well as the author, but I get to know them by the time they finish writing it. So it's a privilege to be in that position.
I'm going to echo that. I absolutely love doing it. What was your first book?
So my first book was called The Secrets of Successful Coaches. So really does what it says on the tin. And it was very successful. And, 10 years ago, not many business owners anyway, were writing books. It's become something that's really evolved much more since then. So it was quite unique. And although there were people who had written books, it wasn't like it is now. And it just put me and my business on the map. It just transformed it, because I'd interviewed some amazing people. I'd learned some really great stuff, and I managed to get it out there. But there were so many times on the journey I could have stopped. I really could have given up at so many stages, but I did it anyway.
So people think about kind of publishing business books now, but 10 years ago, I'm sure the industry was in a completely different kind of state, completely different kind of way of doing things. Processes were different compared to they are now. Was it hard publishing a book 10 years ago, or was it similar to how it is now?
it was not as easy as it is now. You couldn't necessarily do it yourself like you can now. So literally, you know, with the planners I've just created, they have been created, they have been designed professionally. I just uploaded them to Amazon myself, whereas you couldn't necessarily have done that 10 years ago, or not as well as you could do now. So it was easy-ish to do it back then. Although in saying that, it was easier to get a publishing deal back then and probably less easy to get it now. So there's swings and roundabouts with all of that. Although a publishing deal isn't always the best thing to do, but that's a whole different conversation, I think.
I was going to say, the self-publishing compared to publishing deal, that's something that I've known about for ages. I'm not in the industry. Mm. And you mentioned about it being easier, it's an easier entry level now to get into publishing. Yeah. Self-publishing even, but harder to get into publishing deals. How easy is it now to publish a business book?
It's incredibly easy to do it now, but the downside is, because it's so easy, people can do it badly. So I've one of the things I've seen over the last few years is people who, you know, you don't know what you don't know. You don't know the process. You don't know the best way of doing it. You can easily make a mistake, or you can spend so long doing it yourself that you don't actually do what you're good at in your business. So I'm a great believer in outsourcing things to people who know what they're doing and who can support you on the journey, because there's not much point in, you know, fanning around trying to do it yourself when there's someone else who can do it so much quicker and so much easier than you. So that's the danger of how easy it is that people get it wrong. They make mistakes and they don't do... You know, you're spending sort of 9-12 months potentially writing a book. You want it to do well. There's not much point in spending that time and then not doing it as well as you could do. And that's what it's all about these days. It's got to be a brand and business building tool.
I love it. And actually, when you're talking about kind of branding and business, how does a book, and this is a very open question because I'd love to hear your answer, but how does a business book help with people's market strategy and brand building?
One of the things I teach all of my clients is to make sure the book is an integral part of the business. So it's absolutely totally aligned. So for example, Gary, if someone goes onto your social media profile, your Facebook page, your website, your book, your talk that you might be giving, everything was on brand. It's the same message or similar message. Yes, you might be talking about different things, but people know you for what you do. And that's where a really good book comes in. It's totally on brand. It's got the perfect idea and it just helps you to build your business. If, for example, it's totally off brand, it's not going to help you at all. So if you go off at a tangent or you try and put everything into your book, it can skew your message. It can mean it's not as successful as it could be. So it's about being on brand and everything kind of being in alignment.
And I suppose that's when also you include your brand colours. You make sure all of the kind of, again, it's not just the writing or the style of writing or the words that you put into the book.
Yeah.
It's the other bits. And I love how you said about outsourcing it to the people who are good at it, because you wouldn't spend 9-12 months kind of editing it and going through that process only then for you to design the front cover, which looks, frankly, subpar by you trying to do it yourself. Yeah. It will defeat the object. Do people do that?
They do. And I know they do. And also they try and edit themselves, and you just can't see the wood for the trees. When you're working with your own book, you know, some people might need a developmental editor who can actually help them to refine their message and get it clearer and make sure there's a strong call to action, that type of thing. But at the very least, you need to get a proofreader to read, you know, to see those mistakes that you just don't see, because you read what you think you see, don't you? You don't necessarily, and I know that through my own writing, I always use a proofreader. If I'm doing anything, you know, the planners I've just created, you know, I had my proofreader read them for me because I just couldn't see it. They looked perfect to me, but they weren't.
Yeah. And to be fair, I'm in a process at the moment, and it might be common knowledge, it might not be, of design a quick ebook to throw out there about the 5 stages of podcasting. Mm-hmm. And the first thing I did was I passed it on to a proofreader, passed it on to a copywriter to do, because frankly, I haven't got the time. Haven't got the energy, and I haven't got the skills to do it myself. Yeah. And if I'm going to be putting something to market, do you know what? I'm going to make sure that it is a great representation of me, my brand. And actually, they're going to pick up on different bits, like you said, that I haven't picked up on.
Yeah.
And they are really going to kind of say, well, Gary, you shouldn't really include that, or you need to change the paragraphs here, there, and there. That's what they do.
Yeah.
I don't do that. Yeah. I don't want to do that. So, of course, I'm going to outsource it.
And they can probably sell you better than you can sell yourself, because they can actually see the value, the gems in what you know. So that's another thing that somebody else can do that you might not see yourself, because what I find with many of my clients is the things they find easy are the things they need to share with other people and teach other people. But because they find it easy, they think it's common knowledge. My transition to book mentoring was a bit like that, in terms of I never set out to become a book mentor, but I had so many people ask for my help that eventually I went, okay. And then I realized that I find it easy, but other people don't. And I've learned and seen every mistake that could have been made over the last, 11 years or so.
Well, let's kind of look back on that journey a little bit. So you published kind of book number one, which is the kind of collection people's success. What was book number two? Was it completely different to that, or was it along the same lines?
It was along the same lines. Book number one focused on the successes of other people, although I did put some of my own my stamp on it. But my second book was called How to Stand Out in Your Business. And that was kind of what I'd learned from the first book. So it was my own process, my own system, and how I did it. And I launched that at an event in 2012. Yeah, I did say never again after the first one, but I wrote the second one quite quickly.
And was it easy to write?
Yeah, that one took me 6 months. For the first one, took me 18 months and a lot of pain, blood, sweat, tears. And the second one was really easy. And my third one was quite easy as well. So the third one came along. Well, I say the third one was easy. I was writing Your Book is the Hook when I was making the transition into book mentoring, because ultimately your book is the hook. And I'd already started writing another one, which took me ages because that was all about my personal story. But Your Book is the Hook, it took me 6 months as well. But the thing I did with that, Gary, is I created a course and I wrote the book at the same time. So I monetized the course and I helped other people. I tested all of my theory and I wrote the book and did the course at the same time. And that's one of the things I teach now, because another mistake I see people make is they launch their book and then they think about marketing, when actually you need to market your book from day one. And I did that. So I know it works. And I know with my clients, it works as well.
I love it, because one thing that I preach on to my clients all the time is you don't start promoting your podcast when you launch a podcast. You do it before. You've got to lead up to it. People have got to be aware of it. And the more times you touch points with them, the more information you give out to them. Thought the better it's going to be received, because actually when it's launched they're going to be warm, they're going to be ready, instead of launching it cold. So I completely get it, and I've got a little theory that I just want to kind of quickly share with you. And I'd love to see if you're on the same page or you're not. So let's see how it is. So you've got an idea, and the idea could be about building, and that could be about sharing your knowledge in a business book, for instance, or that. That then idea could also be then, as you said, an online course which you could launch alongside it. It could also be a video series. It could also be a podcast series. Once you've got the idea and you've refined and created that idea, that actually forms the basis of a whole content. It's content marketing strategy 101. But do you agree, or is there tweaks? I know I've given a very top level simplistic view on it. There's loads more levels. But what's your thoughts on content marketing like that?
By the time this podcast interview goes live, I will have delivered a masterclass called The $1 Million Idea, and that's what it's all about. It's about everything being totally in alignment, absolutely. I've got my Smart Author program that I launched in 2020, so when sort of everything was happening with COVID hitting, and I've just done a Facebook Live with somebody who teaches people how to do a course. So we did that for members, and it is turning your book into a course, your course into a book, your book into a podcast. A great way of writing a book, I'm going to sow the seed, Gary, is you could turn the interviews for your podcast into a book. Perfect, easy, bang, bang, bang.
But funny enough, you should mention that I have a mini grow show, which is a 5-minute show which explores one idea. I'm doing exactly that.
Perfect.
Season one's already kind of in the process of doing it. And each season is going to be about 15 to 20 episodes. So I was going to see how season one fitted all in. Then I might have included season two in. We'll see how it goes. But trust me, I'm already there. So the seed has already been sowed. If that's the phrase. I don't know if it is or not.
Well, the great thing about interviews is that you get the material from other people. Yes, it might not necessarily be shining the spotlight light on you, although actually in delivering the podcast, of course it does. Well, I did that for my very first book. So I had 11 interviews I did. And the beauty of that is I had 11 people who were helping me to promote the book. So that's a really great way of doing it, because you're the only danger of doing an interview style book is you're shining the spotlight on other people rather than shining the spotlight on yourself. But, you know, if you were, for example, were going to do a book from podcast interviews and things like that, you know, you would have 15, 20 people who are promoting it alongside you because they want their, you know, their message to go out to more people. But then you're also shining the spotlight on yourself in terms of being that person delivering the podcast or doing the interviews. So I think, you know, interview style books are great because they can be quick, they can be easy. Now, the other thing you can do, Gary, is, you know, some of my clients, because I talk about sort of self-funding and self-validating a book as you write it, they're doing interviews that are not necessarily going in the book like an interview style book, but they're doing it as part of their research. And the beauty of that is, again, you're validating your ideas. And you're also potentially getting clients as you're writing it, which is, you know, some of my clients have had some amazing successes by doing interviews and they go, oh, you know, you're writing a book. Actually, why don't you help me with this? Or what about doing a proposal for this? And that is another great way of building a business off the back of a book whilst you're writing it.
Is that all about building that relationship with the person? And once that relationship's really kind of formed and they start trusting you and start believing and you kind of matching up your values to theirs, that's when it will naturally kind of go through.
Yeah, it does. And I think the interviews as well, you can, you know, you could go back to clients you've worked with in the past. So, for example, if you're a corporate coach and you're writing a book in the corporate arena, say for CEOs, you could go back to, you know, 50 CEOs you've worked with over the last 10 years and interview them. And wouldn't it be great to say, hi, I haven't seen you for a while. You know, it's a great non-salesy way of actually getting in touch with people and going and reconnecting with them. Nothing may come of it, but then they might say, actually, you need to speak to my mate over at this company, or I really like what you do. Why don't you deliver some more work for us? So all of these, it's great content for the book, but it's also raising your profile at the same time. So it's a win-win.
Love it. And there's a book which is actually just on my desk here. I'm surrounded by books, by the way.
Yeah, me too. And not surprisingly.
And it's the book that I'm going to refer to is Tribe of Mentors by Tim Ferriss. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you know about the premise of this book, but for people who don't, basically he sent 15 questions to 200-300 different people. Mm-hmm. And these are CEOs, CFOs, you know, authors, sports stars, loads of stuff. Asked them 15 questions. Mm-hmm. And that book basically is the responses that he had. He went to his network and he used his network to generate the content for the book. Yeah. So it doesn't even have to be, you know, using that as an example, doesn't even have to be interviews. It could be sending out kind of a couple of questions here and there to different people, having that strategy and having that oversight to be able to kind of figure out how it all fits in, but then using your network to generate the content. It can be done and it has been done. I don't know how many copies Tim has sold of this, but you can guess it's probably in the millions. You know, it's, you know, it's quite a great way of doing it. Really good way of doing it.
There are seven ways you can self-fund a book that I teach, and there's two more that I've exploring at the moment. So they are things like interviews, surveys, creating a course, which we've already touched on, crowdfunding, you know, sponsorship, and, you know, raising your profile by talking on social media. And the seventh one, which has gone completely out of my mind at the moment, but there are seven key ways in which you can do it, and there are a couple of others that I've explored through some of my clients and also through some of the work I've done over the last few months as well. So it is about raising your profile and just, you know, and showing up in a bigger way, which is what I encourage people to do.
Yeah, and if you wanted to find out more information about crowdfunding, if to launch a book, obviously Karen is your go-to person. So go to Karen and she'll be able to help you. However, there was a previous guest of the Grow Show called Paul Newton, who went through the crowdfunding process for his book Mental Theft. And he documents it so well. He does. Actual physical kind of step-by-step process that he went through.
I have listened to that one, Gary, because I know Paul from my corporate days. So I've known him probably, oh gosh, for about 15 or 16 years. So before I even got into my business, the very first event that I ran in 2012, where I launched my second book, he did a magic show. So yeah, we go way back. And I got him to walk on hot coals as well. So that's a whole different story again.
That's a whole different story. I need to get you both on the same interview talking about that. The other way that people can kind of use their network, and they're actually the previous guests from the interviews, is getting together and into a virtual event. And that's why I formed Grow Live, because I'd spoken to people on the show. I was, you know, and these people have got great stories, great insights. But I didn't just want to do another interview with them because I want to do something different. So I managed to get 30 of my previous guests all over 2 days to give different talks, questions and answers, and it became Grow Live. We're doing it again in 2021 in September. But the big thing really is that you can, once you've got that network, once you've got that community, and it, for me, it is about community. It's about sending them a message saying, how are you doing? You know, if you haven't seen them for a while, keeping in touch with them. Because you never know what's going to happen with them. And to be fair, there's some guests who didn't feel happy talking at Grow Live because they didn't feel that they could. But a year later, I'm talking to them about talking at Grow Live 2021. Yeah. And suddenly they're actually, yeah, I can do this now. Let's do it. So, you know, you can see that progression. So please, if you have got a network, if you have got a community that you have, you know, you have got in... got in your network or you know you're in, talk to them, use them. Just a side note. It is. So we've covered kind of books 1, 2, and 3 plus your planners. What are books 4, 5, and 6? I'm just being nosy now. I know.
Yeah.
And can people see them all in a nice little Amazon directory?
For those not listening to the podcast but watching the video, there we go. Nice little pile there. My third book was Your Book is a Hook, which takes people through the process of writing a book. Did a second edition of that in 2017. The Mouse That Rules, that was book number 4, which is my story, which I often talk about in networking events because it shows my story of going from a really shy child through to a successful entrepreneur and book mentor. Because if you saw me back sort of even 15, 20 years ago, you'd never imagine I would be quite happy doing podcast interviews and things like that. So there's a lot of stuff I share in there. My fifth book was called Book Marketing Made Simple, which is all about book marketing made simple.
There's a chapter on
podcasting in there as well. And I did Becoming an Authority in 2019. That's slightly different because I did Becoming an Authority, I did that audio only. That was a bit of an experiment, but it was actually the thing that fueled the Smart Author System that was launched last year because I had the content and I turned it into the course. So that was book number 6. And yeah, the planner and the journal came this year.
Wow. So where can people get hold of these?
They're on my website, on Amazon, on all good bookstores worldwide. In the interweb.
We're putting details to those places in the show notes, so you don't have to worry about those.
Yeah.
How can you remember the time? Can you remember the kind of the pinpoint time when you suddenly thought people started to come to you and say, "Can you mentor me for books?"
Yeah.
Was there a big shift in you between being an author and then being a mentor, or did it come really simply, really naturally?
I was kicking and screaming a little bit because I didn't think I didn't really think I was good enough to be able to do it, in all honesty, because I was coaching new businesses back between about 2011 and 2014. But I was constantly finding people who I was coaching and working with, they were saying, "Hey, you've written a couple of books, how did you do it?" And I was helping them, but on a very sort of basic level. But it was 2014 when I had the person tap me on the shoulder, the last person to tap me on the shoulder, just said, "I really want some help." So I did it with that lady, and she published her book, and I went, "Actually, you know, I'm pretty good at this. I'm really good at helping people to see their ideas that they can't see themselves, the value in what they know. They're kind of the spark, the secret source, the thing that makes them different. Whereas when you're a business owner yourself, and I find this myself, is you can't always see the wood for the trees, because the stuff you find easy is the stuff other people need to know. The process that you go through, the thing that you might take your clients through, it can be hard to unpick it and actually go, how do you put that in a book? Especially if you do something that's quite intuitive, quite abstract, when you've got to put it in a book that goes, okay, step 1, step 2, step 3, or principle 1, principle 2, principle 3, it can be hard to actually dissect what that actually is. And that's the stuff I love. I love helping people with the structure, the flow, so that also then can inform the courses and the interviews and things like that.
Love it, because I suppose by clarifying and refining those messages into those kind of points, you've got such a lot of micro content straight away there, as well as obviously the interviews, the podcasts and all that kind of stuff. You've got social media posts that they can use off those. It does really set them up. And you, And the one bit that I would love to kind of say as a comment to all that is when I'm talking to people about social media management back in the day, they were so involved in their business, so kind of in their own little bubble, they couldn't see how glorious the bubble was. And they couldn't see how many different stories were actually there because they were just doing it day by day. They were just doing their job or they're in their business, but actually people are nosy and people want to know those individual bits. Yeah. And someone like you who can bring it out to them, you can do. There's one point that I just wanted to kind of ask you just quickly, because I'm interested in this, because again, I'm nosy, but I saw from your LinkedIn profile that you're a TEDx speaker.
I am.
How did that come across? How did that kind of come about even?
It came about because there was a local TEDx starting. I'm in Portsmouth. There was one starting in Chichester. And I know the organiser and I approached him and said, I would love to do a TEDx at some stage. And he got me booked on. And and it's just sort of suddenly I got a message going, oh, you're booked on in October 2017. And I went, I can't swear, can I? Oh, crap. And that's probably went through my mind. I'm a firewalk instructor. Don't do it on a regular basis, but somebody I did my training with, who you probably know, she was also on that very first TEDx. We did our first TEDx together. So that was quite exciting.
Oh, and who is that person?
That was Taz Thornton. I think everyone knows Taz.
I thought it was.
Yes, everyone knows Taz.
Yes. Yes, and actually she's going to be a future guest on the show, which is great. We're organising dates at the moment. But you just kind of mentioned it slightly. You just threw it in there, firewalking. You just kind of threw it in there, just lit it under the carpet there. But how did you prepare for the TEDx? Because my impression of TEDx, and this is what I'm really interested in, is that actually it's not, even though it's a public, you're public speaking, you're not, you're performing.
Yes.
Because it's a certain amount of time you've rehearsed it, you've refined your message. And what was your TEDx speech about? And did it take much time to prepare?
I did my TEDx speech on The Mouse That Roars, which is my story. Okay. So I did it on there. Now, the very first lady I took through her book back in 2014, I met her when I did a training course called Speak Like a TED Talker. So that kind of was the foundation. So I knew it was in my psyche. It was one of those things I really wanted to do. But when I actually got the date for the TED Talk, I did get one of her trainers to support me with it, because I knew that, you know, if I'm doing something that's, you know, relatively high profile, something I want to be proud of, again, using an expert to help me. So we constructed the talk, we deconstructed it so it felt natural. And then I just practiced. I run a writing retreat in Spain every year when we're not in COVID. And some of the ladies out there were kind enough to watch it and give me feedback. So it was a great place to practice as well, you know, round a pool, you know, at the same time as helping people to write. I know, I'll slip that in as well.
Just and, slide all these little nuggets in, why not?
But yeah, it was an amazing experience. But I am a natural introvert. I am quiet, I am shy. To do it did really push me out of my comfort zone, but I'm very glad I did. Having that support and having that help to sort of, because there's a framework with TED, there's a framework that, you know, when you do it, there's a certain sort of structure you follow, but you also need it to be natural. And just knowing kind of the different parts of it, the different points, okay, so this is what I'm ending with, these are the kind of the chunks in between. I missed a chunk, you know, nobody knows that apart from me, you and everyone listening, but I missed a chunk, but that was okay, it wasn't a big chunk, but as long as you know the starting and the end, that's the most important thing.
Good. And it's one of those things where people, and I love talking to people like yourself, who you're just so humble about everything, because you started your book, then you did a TED talk, you do writing retreats, and all of this comes so natural to you, but they don't see the hours of hard work that you've put in to refine your skills, to refine your messages, and to get to the stage where you can do all this. So from me to you, plus also all of you, is thank you for that, because actually it shows that actually people can do it. And during this interview, which we've been talking for about 25 minutes, half hour or so far, so thank you for your time, but during this you've given us, and you've given me ideas for not only how to write a book, not only how to kind of publish a book, not only how to use the content in the book or how to use your existing content to bring it all together, but actually you've given us hope by you saying about your story. And actually, you wrote a story about your experiences, which is no mean feat at all. And we could have spent the whole episode talking about how you went through that process and all that kind of stuff. That's probably part two. Stuff it, we'll do a part two about it. But to kind of finish all this interview off and finish this kind of part off, what is your one big thing? What's your one thing that you want to share to all the viewers and listeners of this podcast?
If you have got a deep desire to write a book, whether it's fiction or even non-fiction or whatever it is, you know, I work with non-fiction authors, just do it, because it's an incredible feeling when you have your book in your hand for the first time. It's scary and it's incredible, and you go through highs and lows and God knows what, but absolutely, it's an amazing experience. But that's what I would leave people with.
Brilliant. And if people wanted to connect with you on social, we'll put all your details for your books and the TED Talk and all that kind of stuff in the show notes. But if they wanted to connect with you on social and carry on the conversation, where do you hang out on socials?
I hang out all over the place. Facebook, LinkedIn, a little bit on Twitter, a little bit on Instagram. And you can find me on librotas.com, which is librotas.com. But yeah, I'm hanging out all over the place.
Brilliant. And on that bombshell, I'm going to leave it there for today. Thank you so much for your time, Karen. Really do appreciate it. Let's get you back in for part two. And thank you very much, everyone, for listening and watching The Grow Show. I hope you've enjoyed it. Please connect with Karen. And yeah, until next time, take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to The Grow Show. With new shows available every week, if you know anyone else who could benefit from these powerful insights, please share this podcast with them. And don't forget to subscribe.